Jesus said, I'll build my church. Mm-hmm. So his community. It's not just a community, it's his community. The word was a widespread concept of an association, but Jesus grabbed that word and said, my church, I'll build my church.
And what makes a local church a local church?
We combine ourselves together in a team, a Jesus team. Then he said, and I will build my church.
Hi, and welcome back to another great episode of the Rodcast, Innovative Missions with Dr. Rod Plummer and team. I'm Monty Plummer, and I'm here today with Dr. Rod. And today we're going to be talking about something that is very dear and near to your heart and to mine and to probably many people watching. And that is the local church.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, just set some groundwork. First of all, let's talk about the Bible, what it says about the local church and why it's important for us as pastors, maybe church planters and leaders to understand the importance of the local church.
Well, I got saved 47 years ago through a local church, and I've always loved the local church. And the key scripture that keeps coming up is when Jesus said to Peter, who do people say that I am in Matthew 16? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. But then he said, and I will build my church. And that little phrase there has been really my whole understanding of what I'm supposed to do, be part of Jesus' local church. And I guess everyone listening would say, me too. But we could explain that further as a beautiful community, building up the name of Jesus, local church, the universal church, just loving the whole thing. But Jesus was speaking about the big church. We call it the big C church, as in C for church, being the universal church. And yes, he'll build his church in every nation and every generation, every time and every place is the promise before he comes back again. That's going to happen in every nation. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. And that is a great hope that we have.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about the word church for a moment. Yeah. Then. So it's called ecclesia.
Yeah. Now that word, Japanese understand that word because it's the word kyokai, which is church. It's the same thing, which is association. So there was nothing particularly spiritual about that word. It was a gathering, a group of people gathered together for either commercial or religious, whatever it is. But Jesus said, I'll build my church. So his community. It's not just a community, it's his community. But the word church is actually used quite a few times, including somewhere in Acts 19, it said the guild of Ephesus, they were non-Christians, got together, the ecclesia. So the word was a widespread concept of an association, but Jesus grabbed that word and said, my church, I'll build my church. Of all the associations and all the groups and gatherings, I'm going to build my association.
And so, like you said, that's the big C church, the universal church, which, you know, goes over all denominations and all that. And so can we bring some then clarity between, okay, big C church, we understand that Jesus said, I will build my church. And then between that and then a local church, so what is the differentiation? What makes a local church a local church?
Well, Jesus only used the word two times. The first time was the big church, that one I mentioned. And then just two chapters later in Matthew 18, where it talks about local relationships breaking down. And he says, if this happens, call others and witnesses and that. And if it doesn't happen, call the church. Well, that can't be universal church for a relational issue. And so it's talking about the concept of being in a community, a local community. The second time Jesus used the word church, the only other time, was a relational small church or local church. And that's what we belong to. We can't just belong to the universal church. We've got to have a local. And I think that's really important because a lot of people say, I belong to the universal church, but they're not in a local church. They're not actually working out the community stuff, which to me seems to be the guts of Jesus' church, is being in a community with similar values and heart and working out differences in that situation. And that helps us to grow and mature in a lot of ways.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So the importance of being planted in a local church, because like you said, I also hear many people say, oh, but I'm part of the Big C church, or just me and Jesus, bro, like we got this and I don't need a church. And maybe that's because they've had bad experiences in the past, or they've been hurt in the past, or whatever it may be. But there seems to be some sort of, I don't know, thinking where people think it's okay to not be a part of a local church. So for any pastor or leader listening, what kind of advice would you give us to help people understand how much Jesus actually does love the local church, not just the big C church, but the little C church?
Well, I think there's two ways to answer that, and I will answer them both quickly. One of them is the whole New Testament after the Gospels It mentions the word church about 90 times. It is a key New Testament word, to the church of Philippi, to the church of Galatia, that's local church. Mm. The book of Acts is full of planting local churches, the church of Jerusalem, the church of Antioch, and planting more churches. So the biblical evidence is that the letters of Paul and other things with the church is to a local church. It's people working out their faith, working out their relationships, working out sharing the good news, working out. So it's the working out of our faith we see in the New Testament over and over. So when people quote Paul, it's usually to a church, a real local church with good things, bad things, up and down, whatever. But the second way I'd answer that is Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love God, and second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't know how you can work that out without being in a community. Mm. So some people say, I don't belong to a church because they haven't worked out community. And I've met people like that too. And I think I've seen them years later and years later and years later, and it hasn't really changed in terms of their relational family connections with other Christians. Mm. And along with that is our effectivity in the world as Christians. Like, I'm just one person. Me and Viv are two people together. So we can do something. But it's as that group grows and grows in the New Testament concept of relationship and goals and mission and sharing good news that we combine ourselves together in a team, a Jesus team. And that Jesus team is not perfect and does have to work out things. And forgiveness is a big part of what Jesus talks about. Mm. If people refuse to be part of a community, they're just not working out a lot of personal stuff. And I think the beauty of a community, a good community, is that Viv and I together, and then in a big community, we get to work out the New Testament stuff together. Mm. And I think that's the way it works. To love your neighbor as yourself is to start loving Christians around you for a start.
Mm, that's really good. And I guess that's great advice to anybody that may have sort of a bad experience or some sort of hurt from the past being part of a church where people are not perfect. And sometimes we expect people in the church or leaders in the church to be perfect. And I'm not trying to belittle anyone having an experience where there was a genuinely bad experience with a leader that was not right, that was not doing the right thing by people.
Sure.
But I think sometimes people leave churches and they say, I'm church hurt. Mm-hmm. And they use this word, but if you break it down further and further, it's like you're not church hurt. You're hurt by this person and this person and this person inside of a church. So forgiveness, like you said, is a real key.
And I think, you know, people do leave for those reasons, and I think that's fine as long as they find a place of forgiveness and find a place of release. Because if you carry church hurt and then church hurt, I you know, when we lived in Australia, I met some. A couple, and they said, I said, hi, your first time here? They said, yeah, we've tried out all the other 12 churches in the city and we're hoping you're better. And I'm thinking, I don't think it's the 12 churches problem. You know, like, there's got to be a time where I stay in a community and I work it out. Now, sure, visit another church and join another church, great. But you're going to have to settle down somewhere, being planted somewhere. And when someone says every church is bad, I don't believe that's true. I think we have to find a place where there's good leadership, not perfect, but good leadership, good values, good mission, good concepts, and put your heart into it. Mm. Love the local church. And I think that's why I've been in a local church for 47 years, a local church, like a few, you know, in Sydney and Brisbane and Thailand, now Japan. Sure. And I've always been part of a local church. Viv and I found a local church, and we've worked out how to forgive and release, and I think it's a huge part of being Christian. A huge part is overcoming offense. Mm. And even in the Lord's Prayer, part of it every day, where Jesus said this is how you should pray, part of it is, you know, release people from stuff as God has released us from stuff. And then Jesus said, but flat out, if you don't forgive, then your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. So there's real, whatever that means, it's huge. It's a warning.
Yeah.
That forgiveness is part of life. It's part of marriage. It's part of being part of a team. And in church life, it's growing through that. And, you know, here in Japan, a lot of people have never really been part of a team. Mm. And I think being part of a team has helped me to stay in a team.
Right.
Rugby, surfing, whatever the team is, business team, it's not perfect. You've got to work out some stuff. Now, sometimes you do have to leave if it's so bad or dark, but usually you've got to work out how do we work together. And I grew every time I decided to stay and and work things through. And I just think that's a huge part of being in a local church. So people say church hurt. I think that could be a cover for I will stay church hurt.
Mm.
And I think that's what Jesus is saying. You can't do that. Like, church hurt is real. But to stay church hurt is a choice. And I think that that is where I would say to them as a pastor, I don't know what you've been through, and I can't work it out for you. I can't work that out for you. But I can say to you, forgiveness and getting over offense is a better lifestyle. It will help you in your job and your marriage and your personal peace.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm a definite believer in working things through. You know, one of our key leaders years and years ago was distracted by something, and he was worried whether to leave church or not. Now, that's his choice, but he prayed and journaled what we do, read the Word of God, and God spoke to him and said, when your family has a problem, you don't leave your family, you stay and try and work it out.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, what an incredible revelation from a young Japanese believer who prayed and journaled, and God said, well, you can leave. I mean, we're free.
Yep.
Or you can help stay to be part of the solution if that's possible. Mm. And it was possible. And the church is flourishing and growing. And it's just been an amazing journey for everyone to see just this great word from God.
Mm. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I think God would love for everyone to find a good local community, a good local church that they could be a part of, and that they could live out their gifts and their purpose as being part of that community does allow. What do you think about people that, you know, are part of maybe certain, let's call it para churches? So that could be anything from full-blown organized para church to maybe they're just doing a Bible study at home or something like that. Now, I guess there's like great things that can come from any of these things, but where do you see as like the balance with, you know, the local church, like loving the local church, being part of a local church, and also maybe all of these things that, you know, we call parachurch, which should come parallel alongside of the local church, but then maybe sometimes people gravitate towards that over the local church.
Mm. Well, as you said, parachurch means parallel. So I'm thinking of train tracks together. Now, the two train tracks should always bend and twist together, go through tunnels together. And so if one of those tracks goes on its own tangent, then it's no longer parachurch. It's on its own church trajectory, really. I think that's what I could say there. So if parachurches love the local church, love the church that Jesus is building, Jesus said, I will build my church and nothing else.
Mm.
If parachurch loves the local church and sows into the local church and gives to the local church and prays to the local church and helps the local church, I think it's great. Mm. Could be some mission work or prayer group, whatever. But it's we're gonna serve a church. We're going to love a church. We're going to help do this with the help of a local church and use our strength to give to the local church. I think that's really valuable. Mm. But when it goes on a tangent, it's got its own trajectory, its own future. And I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. I think it's something different. But if people love the church and sow the church, praise the Lord. That's great.
And I think it's also tied into when we talk about missions, how you've been such a great advocate for church-to-church missions. Now, you know, many churches can give towards many organizations, and that's fine, that's their business. But, you know, we've found great fruitfulness from having church-to-church missions where we have a good relationship with another local church that may be somewhere else in the world. And because of that good relationship between churches, there's trust. And then also that fruitfulness can be ongoing. It's not just a moment in time. It's not just when a team or something comes and it just ends there. Like, we can you know, carry the baton and continue on in that. So any other thoughts on church-to-church missions in this regard?
Yeah, well, I got saved at 19 and was always involved in missions till this time right now. I'm 66. That's a lot of years to be involved in a lot of countries. And I've seen a lot of things and a lot of cycles and teaching and things. And I don't want to be the older guy that says, yes, I've seen it all. But there are certain patterns. There are certain patterns and a pattern. I'll use my American accent, a pattern. a pattern I've seen is that if something's not attached to the local church, it has its day.
Mm, you mean like a expiry date?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And it could be a long expiry date, but there's an expiry date. But the church doesn't have that expiry date.
Mm.
The church is there to be built and growing. I will build my church, said Jesus. So I've seen a lot of things where something had its day, had its moment, and I'm not saying it wasn't of God, but it then had a reduction or a decrease. And For example, when we lived in Thailand for 4 years, we saw a lot of things, a lot of finance and effort being given into things. And I'm sure there's good hearts and a lot of prayer, but without the right strategy, it dies. It doesn't work. So a lot of things happened. People came to town. And just like Japan and Thailand, there's a very few percentage Christians. Where we lived in Thailand, it was 0.1% Christian. It was even worse than Japan. And we saw a lot of things, a lot of activity, which again, let's say everyone had good hearts.
Yeah.
They came and went, but there was no adding to the local church. And sometimes that's been a very large cost to those groups. So the question is, why not give that to a local church? Not our local church, a local church.
Right.
To be able to build resources and facilities or literature or something that would serve that local church. So I've seen a lot of things, patterns, that come and go. But what I have seen is the local church stays. The local church will grow. If it's any local church that's a good local church will grow. Now that is contextual. So it could grow slowly. It could grow over a lot of years, but it does grow because lives grow and people grow. And I've seen that. That's what I have seen for 47 years I've been a Christian, that local churches, good local churches grow, and a good small local church will grow in many ways.
That's amazing. What kind of advice would you give someone? Let's say that there's many good local churches around them in their area, and I don't know if this is like a new kind of fad or like popular thing, but seems like church hopping has become almost trendy in a way. Maybe not so much in our context, but maybe other contexts in the world where it's almost trendy to go from this one and this one and this one, and you maybe cycle through a few different things. What kind of advice would you give to, you know, leaders and pastors that wants to encourage a young person or someone that might be looking around, whether it's like they really have the intention of planting themselves or if they don't? What kind of advice can we give to encourage people like that? Like, hey, let's get planted. Let's choose. Let's settle on one.
Sure. I think every church needs to be clearer on its own mission and culture.
Right.
So this is what we do, and we can't do some other things. I think to put it out there is part of how we've really grown, I think, really well. And put it out there, not in a way that we're better. This is really important. We're not better, but we do have our own individual bent or flow or calling. And making that clear and building on those strengths. So a church that's really good with kids' church should really do well with kids' church and try and win families with small children. And that's so working to your strengths, working to your anointing, working to your calling. And we can't do everything all the time. And I've always said here in Japan for 24 years, we know what our mission is. And our mission is not for everybody, but I believe it is for a lot of people. And so being secure, I'd say to leaders, you've got to know what you're calling and then put your best foot forward on that. Like, make that kids' church your best, or make the music your best, or make the outreach your best, or like doing really well with that, and not saying we're the church for everybody, because unless you're just the only church around, you're not the church for everybody. God has many local churches with flavors and missions. But the first thing I'd say is be clear of your mission and communicate it really, really nicely and well. Like, we really feel we're called to this, and do it and speak it and reaffirm it, not just like it's something on a wall, but something we live out. You know, it could be with small groups, for example. We do that with Lifehouse. We love our small groups where we read the Bible and pray together. And not every church does that, but we want to do that and do it well so that people feel loved and equipped and growing. So that's number one. Number two, be excited about your own church. I think that we've got to, you know, if we're not excited about what we're doing, maybe visit other churches and get some advice from people with wisdom to pray into your future, to pray into a vision of what your church could be, being inspirational, being excited in the local church. So that's what we can do. What we can't do is control people. So it's not about control. It's about being who we are, speaking it clearly, being excited and say, this is who we are. And if people do church hop or whatever, that's up to them and God. And that's going to happen. It will happen. And it happens more in some countries than others. I think there are some countries, I won't name them, where this happens a lot. And it happens around, you know, who's the best preacher or who's the best teacher. And I think 1 Corinthians said something about that, didn't it? Where Paul said, we're of Apollos, we're of Paul. And he's saying, this is what baby Christians do, or this is what fleshly people do. They go with a personality that rather than going with a call and mission.
Mm.
So people are free to go, but I would say go to where God is calling you and where you can contribute and put your energy and strength into that local church rather than just being a consumer. You're actually a server, a giver in that local church. And so once again, I've seen this in various things. We used to, 47 years ago, we talked about this too. You know, it's not a new thing.
Right.
And as long as people have a good motive, that's great. But if they, we used to call it sheep stealing. If people are after sheep stealing, today it's called poaching.
Right.
Is the term I've heard recently from a certain country. And I don't think we use that word here in Japan at all. But there's a word for this where there's an intentional motivation to go to other churches to say, we've got better coffee, we've got better preachers, we've got better lights. And I think that's shallow because that person is drawn by that, may be drawn by something else in 6 months.
Right.
Whereas the Bible talks about being planted. I think you just touched on that word. So let's talk about that. I'll ask the question myself.
Okay, yeah, great.
What does the Bible say about being planted, Monty?
Be planted.
Psalm 92, 13 says... Yes.
Be planted and you will flourish.
That's true. And recently we heard someone, it also says you'll be like a cedar tree in Lebanon. You heard someone talk about that recently, right?
Yeah. Yeah, one of our friends, a great pastor, said that they had grown up in Lebanon and shed some really interesting light on the concept of the cedars of Lebanon, in that when these big trees, massive trees, when they grow up and their branches go across, they begin to kind of overlap and rub against each other to the point that the bark begins to fuse the branches together. So what was two separate organisms actually starts sharing a common bond and it becomes one, you know, big forest. And I thought that was a really beautiful picture of the local church, is that as you are planted, as your roots grow down deeper, as your branches go up taller, you find people that are also planted.
Yeah.
And that's what doing life with believers in a local church really looks like, is that your lives... You know, you become bonded by the things that you go through and the ups and the downs, and you get to see God's goodness in all of it. And that really brings the body of Christ together. So that was a real beautiful image.
Yeah. So that's still the same. Psalm 92, 13. It's the same verse. And then the next verse or the next sentence says, if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish in the courts of our God. And I think this planting, flourishing linkage or flow is really important for everyone to understand. If this is God's will to be in his local church under good leadership, which we're going to talk about on another occasion, and good mission, we'll be fulfilled.
Mm.
And I was also taught very young that a church's vision must be big enough for other people's vision. That means people are different and we're all supposed to be different, but it's supposed to fuse, like you're saying, it's supposed to somehow beautifully, supernaturally fused together. People who are very different from each other, either age or language or ethnic group, we're fusing together, getting ready for heaven. Because heaven, we're all together forever and ever and ever. And looking forward to that moment one day. But again, it's the local church is getting us ready for this this wonderful reward in heaven to be together.
So would you say that's part of the reason why you have kept a good heart towards the local church? Because like you said, out of 47 years, was it being part of church, being part of ministry, that you've seen a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you probably had many opportunities to get offended and leave yourself. So is this part of the reason why you still love the local church? Is there other parts of the reason why you yourself have decided to stay in a local church?
I think number one is it's a mission of Jesus Christ to build his church. I just absolutely got it early.
Mm.
But also being married to my wife Viv has helped me a lot.
Sure.
Because occasionally I've had, you know, the opportunity to get upset and offended, and Viv has said to me at those times, we have to forgive and have a wife who helps me not add fuel to the fire, but to put out the fire. John Maxwell talks about this with anything, with a conflict or a problem. You as a leader, as a Christian leader, you have a choice to either put on the fire, a bucket load of kerosene or a bucket load of water.
Right.
And we're called to put on the bucket load of water or put out the fire. Being married to someone that helps you, close friends that say, hey, that's enough. I love you, bro or sis, or whatever it is. It's time to move on now.
Mm.
Can we pray together? Have people around you that will not put fuel on the fire and say, yeah, I'm church hurt too. Here's my friends online who are church hurt, and getting part of a community of church hurt. Rather, getting with people that say, we understand you're hurt and there's a reason for it and we don't deny that, but it's there is a way to move forward, forgiveness and loving God. So 47 years, I've been married for 40 of those years. Mm-hmm. Alone, me and Jesus, we had to soldier on as a single person, which was good. And developing my ability to forgive and release as a single person. And then as a married couple, we jointly want to do that. So I think that's the answer. I really do. Love the mission. Love Jesus. Love his mission. Love his church. No church is perfect, and we're going to get over it and go forward. Now, if there's abuse, that's a different issue. You move on. Right. But if there's just humanity happening, we have to allow forgiveness and release.
It's amazing. Well, as we wrap up this episode, is there any other final thoughts that you have or tidbits of advice that you'd like to give anyone that's watching, how they could maybe help build their local church if they, you know, whether the senior pastor or on staff or just a dream team or a volunteer on the service, like how can we help them?
I'd like to give a little bit of homework and say, why don't you read the book of Acts through Revelation and see 90 times the word church mentioned and how positive it is.
Mm.
There are a few churches with a few problems. And
In
Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus speaks to some of those and say, get it right, fix it up. That's Jesus. That's Jesus' job.
Yeah.
But see the beauty of the local church. See the anointing, the power, the teamwork, the prayer. See the New Testament concept of the New Testament church is not perfect. But it's beautiful.
Mm.
And I think that as we do that, we say, wow, I want to be part of this sort of church right now.
Amazing. Well, thank you all for joining in, listening to this incredible episode, talking about the local church and why we love the local church. I hope this was a blessing to you and your walk with God and your walk in the local church.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.